Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. The death penalty is an increasingly obsolete and discredited institution. More and more states have abandoned capital punishment altogether, while many others, like North Carolina, have not executed anyone in many years. Interestingly, despite the rapid nationwide demise of the death penalty, hundreds of people remain on death row. What's more, many were sentenced under laws that have since been repealed or amended. A recent report from the Durham-based Center for Death Penalty Litigation examines this troubling phenomenon, and recently I sat down with the center's Kristen Collins to discuss the report. Well, Kristen Collins of the Center for Death Penalty Litigation, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
I'm happy to be here.
We're going to talk about a big report that your organization has put out recently and has some really serious implications. But before that, tell our listeners a little bit about the center, what it does, why it exists.
The center is primarily a nonprofit law firm, mm-hmm. and our attorneys represent people who are on death row in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. The main goal of our organization is really to provide, you know, the best possible defense to indigent defendants facing the death penalty. But we also work to be a clearinghouse of information about the death penalty in North Carolina and to educate the public about how the death penalty really works.
Of course, the death penalty is in a sort of been in a state of suspended animation in North Carolina for a long time. It hasn't been implemented. We haven't executed someone in the state for a dozen years, but we still are home to the nation's sixth largest death row population. 142 people are on death row. And you've got a new report out entitled Unequal Justice, How Obsolete Laws and Unfair Trials Created North Carolina's Outsized Death Row. Talk to us about that. The fact it seems that a lot of the people who were convicted might not even be sent to death row today.
Almost certainly they wouldn't. The vast majority wouldn't be. But yeah, we started with the idea that there's this really big disconnect right now in our state where we have the death penalty in almost every way is completely fallen out of use here. We have not had a death sentence in 2 years. There hasn't been a single new death sentence in North Carolina. And in fact, in three out of the past four years, there's been no new death sentences. So juries aren't giving it. We're having very few capital trials and we're not executing people. But at the same time, we have this huge number of people on death row, 140 people now. So it really doesn't make any sense for our state to be housing this huge death row. So we really wanted to look at who's on there. And the vast majority of the people on our death row, more than three quarters, were tried in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And it was just a time when we had completely different laws governing really our entire criminal justice system, but especially our capital punishment system. And when we look at now what the laws are and how those trials would work and what verdicts juries are returning, we can see that juries are returning between one and zero death sentences each year. Back in the years when these people were tried, there were up to 35 death sentences in a single year.
So the fact is, times have changed, but these people are still stuck on death row with death sentences, even though everyone acknowledges they wouldn't be sentenced to death today. Has the law changed since then? I think you alluded to the fact that we've changed our laws on how we even our criminal justice system. Is that a factor?
Right. That is a huge factor. So beginning in 2001, North Carolina started really reforming its laws, its criminal justice and death penalty laws. And that came in response to there were a string of high-profile exonerations of innocent people who had been sent to death row. And so then we had this beginning of a real wave of reforms. So we had the creation of an indigent defense agency in 2001. Before that, people who were facing the death penalty and couldn't pay for a lawyer, that's pretty much everyone— they would just get whoever was next on the roster who was willing to do pro bono cases. And sometimes they got an attorney who, you know, often they got people in private practice, had no one to fall back on. Maybe they had three capital cases at once, or maybe they were someone who was a mostly practiced civil law and had never done a death penalty case before. Mm-hmm. There was uncertain funding. The lawyers didn't know how much they would be paid or whether they would get the money they needed for experts. So they often just did the minimum possible on these cases, and people got really almost a non-existent defense in many of these cases. So that was a huge reform when we created an agency that ensured that everyone got an attorney who was experienced and who had the funding they needed to do the job. But there were lots of other reforms that started in 2001. people who had intellectual disabilities are now barred from getting the death penalty. At that time, there was no law regarding that. So it didn't matter if you didn't understand your crime, were incapable of handling your own daily needs in life, you were just as eligible for the death penalty, even though you maybe had the intellect of a child. We had a requirement at this time. This requirement was ended after 2001. But before that, there was a requirement that every first-degree murder with any aggravating factor, which is pretty much all first-degree murders, had to be tried capitally in North Carolina. That's since been decided that it's unconstitutional to do that. But during the 1990s, pretty much even when the prosecutor saw reasons why they did not want to pursue the death penalty, they saw things that called for mercy, they were not allowed to. So we were having just dozens and dozens of capital trials. Another amazing law that we did not have in the 1990s, defendants did not have a right to see all the evidence that was in the prosecutor's file. So they would go to trial not having seen all the evidence against them and not being prepared. Their attorneys were unprepared to respond to it. Now, almost every state in the nation has what they call open file discovery. So you get to see all the evidence against you before you go to trial. But these defendants didn't have the benefit of that.
So, the bottom line result was that dozens and dozens of people were sentenced to death under these obsolete, in some cases unconstitutional laws, but their cases aren't automatically reviewed in any way. The death sentence just stands. It seems crazy almost. I mean, what should we do? I take it you would argue we need to revisit some of these sentences.
Yeah, it is complicated because there's no legal mechanism that calls for, you know, a death sentence to be reviewed after it's sat for a certain number of time. You know, most people have been sitting for at least 20 years now. Individual district attorneys have the discretion to do that. We just saw in Asheville, the district attorney Todd Williams there agreed to resentence someone on death row just a month or two ago to life without parole because it was shown that his attorneys were completely overworked. They begged to delay the trial and the judge refused. And they never presented any evidence of his severe brain damage, which would have been a mitigating factor that probably would have spared him a death sentence. So,
we also have had some instances where people have actually, of course, been found innocent who were on death row, right? I mean,
absolutely.
The McCallum case.
The big one was that in 2014, where our longest serving death row inmate, Henry McCallum, was proven innocent by DNA. And that's another reform, actually, that Henry McCallum would have benefited from that we've had since then, is these reforms that are intended to prevent false confessions and intended to prevent false eyewitness identification. So we have new procedures for police lineups and for recording confessions. And they didn't have the benefit of those things. And there are more people on death row who we think could be innocent, and those cases are being investigated.
One of the main arguments, of course, that strong supporters of the death penalty always make is that it's a deterrent. It's going to deter people from committing murders because they'll fear this ultimate punishment. But, of course, we haven't had an execution in North Carolina in a dozen years, but we haven't seen any spike in murders in our state. In fact, the crime rate in some respects has either been flat or even declined, right?
Exactly. And we see in states without the death penalty that they have, you know, often have lower murder rates. And really, any academic study on this topic has shown that the death penalty is not a deterrent.
We talked about this off air, and I'd like to revisit it again. I think there's been a change in public attitudes, wouldn't you say? I mean, I sense that amongst the general public, while the death penalty in some polls still shows that majority favorite, we've seen a big decline in that. It seems to me that the public, I think, has been informed by watching television shows and TV dramas and documentaries and investigations that have shown just how complicated and messy a lot of these criminal trials are and how often there are reasonable questions and doubts that linger in it. And when you sentence someone to death, there's no going back if they're actually executed. Don't you think that's part of it, perhaps?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there used to be this kind of blind trust that the public had in our justice system. You know, if you're accused of this, you probably did it. And now people, you know, there's been a lot of things, television shows, all the exonerations we've seen in the news, the innocence commissions that have really peeled back the layers and shown how it actually works, which is that it's often, you know, very questionable evidence and unreliable witnesses that are sending people to death row. The biggest indication, we have done some local polling and things that have shown that people really do believe the death penalty is used unfairly. Mm-hmm. And that's what the newest national polling showed as well. But the biggest indicator to us is juries, that I mean, in capital trial after capital trial, they are voting for life and not death. And in Wake County, there have been 9 capital trials in a row where the juries have rejected the death penalty and gone for life without parole.
Is there any other additional reforms that this report and its findings point to, short of that, that we can take? I mean, are there things we should be doing
right,
going forward in the near term if we're not going to simply just abolish the death penalty?
What we would like to see is the courts and the district attorneys review these cases with a look at proportionality. You know, how does this case fit in under our modern standards and beliefs about the death penalty? You know, there are other reforms that could be possible at this point. Like right now, the death penalty is on the table for pretty much any murder that's committed in our state. We could narrow it down to where the death penalty could only be used in a case where there is some kind of, you know, DNA evidence and a video, or there were multiple victims, right? So it would just be used in a tiny sliver of cases. But honestly, it feels to me like putting all the effort into these kinds of reforms at the death penalty, when we've gotten to a point where juries don't want to give the death penalty, it's not being used, we're not executing people. We've just had another state, we're up to 20 states that have abolished a death penalty, and even all the ones remaining, maybe 4 or 5 are actually still using their death penalties.
It feels very much as if the trend is in that direction. It's unstoppable, and it's probably time for North Carolina to get on board with that. We hope it will happen sometime in the coming years, and congratulate you and the Center for all its work to shine a light on this topic. The report is a very important one. Again, it's entitled Unequal Justice, How Obsolete Laws and Unfair Trials Created North Carolina's Outsized Death Row. You can check it out at cdpl.org. Is that right?
Yes.
CDPL, Center for Death Penalty Litigation.org. Kristen Collins, keep up the good work. We'll do this again soon, hopefully to discuss some future positive developments in this realm.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, Julie Cox of the Interfaith Food Shuttle talks about hunger in North Carolina and what you and I can do about it. Stay with us.